Lord. Love. Hallelujah. You know, we had a really great men's breakfast yesterday. Hallelujah. If you're a man and you didn't make it, you missed it. That's why we do these. We do the women's Bible studies. We do the women's breakfast. We do the men's breakfast. And we do it to encourage each other's. And if you can be at these, please try to be at them. They're very good. We had a challenge speaker yesterday, and it was very encouraging. And the men, we're looking for ways to get you involved in that ministry too. Testimonies, whatever. So going forward, if you can be at a breakfast, sign up. Bring, as it was said earlier, to the Bible studies or to the men's breakfast. If you know somebody, even outside the church, and they're not going to a church or whatever, invite them to come in here. Do you know that most people start coming to a church by somebody inviting them? That's how they come. It's not the pastor's job to grow the church. It's the Lord's responsibility. He said, I will build my church. But he uses all of us together to encourage others to come, to join. Amen? Amen. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. We didn't hear the trumpet yet, Lord, but we know it's going to come soon. Lord, help us as the body of Christ, not just this church and those watching, but our brothers and sisters around the world, dear God, that we're all going to go up at the same time. The dead in Christ shall rise first, you told us, and those of which remain will follow thereup after. So we have a great homecoming. And Lord, you want us to be prepared. You want us to be ready for that day, because it's going to happen when we least expect it. And Lord, you want us to be sincere in our walk with you. You want us to grow in you, to learn of you. So Lord, you've given us that opportunity again today. And we thank you and we praise you for all you've done and are doing and will be doing in our lives. Lord, thank you for setting all the Iraqi people free. Thank you. They were under bondage of a cult, of an Islamic ideology movement. But you set them free, Lord. And Father, you set us free, us that have been bound by sin. When you died on that cross, you made it possible for us to be free from a sin and destruction in our life. And we want to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted.
Amen.
That wasn't very good. Let's do that again. And everybody shouted.
Amen.
Yeah, that sounds like he really meant business now. Amen?
Amen.
Shouldn't we get excited?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, my message today is called Running for the Greatest Prize. Running for the Greatest Prize. How many know there's going to be a prize at the end of our race?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know, I was thinking about this message this week and what should I preach to the people? And I started realizing that there's so many people with a lot of struggles in their lives. There's warfare going on within inside of so many Christians today. They're struggling to live for the Lord. They're struggling to get free of bondages that maybe some of them are carrying around yet. But there's those that don't know that if they died, they would go to heaven. And there's all kinds of spiritual struggles that are going on. But I wanted to have a message today, hopefully, that encourage you and I to grow in the things of God, because we need to be growing. If we're not growing, we're dying. Amen? We need to grow. I don't care if you're in here and you're 190 years old. Now, that's exaggerating. You still need to grow. You still need to grow and draw close to the Lord. Hallelujah. But around this past couple weeks, around 30 million people watched as the men's Olympic USA hockey team won a gold medal. That's a lot of people, isn't it? All their sacrifices and the total commitment to the game earned them the right to the prize. And a lot of work went into that, a lot of dedication. Many of them from when they were just young men. And the women's gold also. They put a lot of efforts into it. They were committed, 100% committed. In order to do what they accomplished, they were professionals in what they were doing with gold medal. It didn't just come because they said, oh, I love to play hockey, or I want to be a hockey player. It didn't come that easy. There's a lot of sweat and tears went into that, a lot of sacrifice of time. And that's what made me think about how today in the church, the body of Christ, how we don't even put in that much time for Jesus. We don't give the time. We just take it for granted. Well, I'm a Christian now, and I just go about my business, and everything's que sera, que sera. And that's the way it is. And we forget that we're in a race. We're in a race for our eternal souls, and the devil wants an apathetic in our walk with the Lord and not be interested in it, just to do our little go to church once a week or our prayer meeting or whatever it is. But God wants us to give us our lives all to Him, body, soul, and mind, all of us to Him. Every single day, we should be conscientious that we're living for a mighty God, a living God who died on the cross for us, and that we need to draw close to Him. If we don't, the enemy is going to steal us away. And he has stolen many, many people through the years away. I just read of a pastor, a pastor that won a drunkard, and he was into pornography and a lot of different things. And I can't think of the guy's name right offhand, but I read the story about him. And this pastor led him to the Lord. That man came to the Lord. He got so on fire for the Lord, he ended up becoming a pastor, an evangelist. He preached the gospel. He witnessed. He was on fire for God. He had a love for the Lord. But after a while, he started to cool down. He started to take it for granted. And to make a long story short, he literally deconstructed his walk with the Lord. He walked away from God. In fact, he went so far away, became an enemy of God, in the sense that he did everything he could to discourage other Christians from living for God. And that's where that man died and went into eternity. That was once on fire for God. Preacher, whatever. Evangelists, missionaries, Sunday school teachers, just because we have a label doesn't make us exempt. We're watching pastors fall today. In the past 3 weeks, I mentioned it yesterday at the men's breakfast, 3 or 4 pastors, again, from mega churches have fallen away from God in adultery. One of them, child abuse with a 12-year-old. They become cooled down in their walk. They got distracted away from the one who saved them. That's why when we come in here and we're led in worship, we should worship. We should give God our best, not just come thinking, oh, we got some music to listen to. Don't really like the music. Don't like the sound of too loud, too quiet, not enough, whatever. We should come in here because we're singing for Him. Amen. We should come in here fire, fully loaded to say, God, I'm going to give you my heart and soul today. I'm going to stand up here with my microphone and I'm going to worship you in front of everybody. Choir. When you come up, we need to be singing and giving God and not be ashamed, because the world sure is not. We're watching that today, even with Islam, those that are involved in Islam, promoting it. They're not ashamed, but they're giving their all. They're standing up and they're doing things. They're working hard 24 hours to infiltrate our government, to infiltrate our homes, to infiltrate our communities. But where are our Christians? Where are we? We are in serious times. We have Christians have got to come back to their first love. The legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers, Vince Lombardi, tried to instill this winning attitude. Winning is not everything. It is the only thing. Well, I tell you what, living for Jesus, it isn't the winning is not everything, it's the only thing, because the alternative is not very good. We don't have a choice. Well, we do have a choice. But I thought, how many young and upcoming athletes who watch the USA team, they were encouraged, they were motivated to work hard, to be totally committed, and many of them want to become hockey players because of those men, and those hockey players, the women too. They want to be like them. The work that they got to put in to become and to get to where those men and women got to be able to win the prize. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And we have an eternal race before us, and we're wasting our hours of life away many times as Christians. And we're letting it go by, not realizing how God can use you and I the way he desires his purpose for you and I to be men and women of God, to go out there and to change the world that's around. The purpose of these witnesses is to inspire and to motivate current believers, the ones that are watching us, about the race for our eternal home prize. Winning is everything. It is the only thing for us as Christians. We've got to win. Amen. We've got to win. And I'm going to keep that attitude that I got to win. In order for me to got to win, I've got to invest my life, my time, my family, my money, my whatever it is, into living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to witness when I need to witness. I need to stand for boldness when I need to do it and not wimp away. I got to give it my all, as I said earlier about they gave everything. And they were willing to die for it at the most horrible way to die, but they did. They became martyrs for the Lord Jesus. In fact, in Hebrews 12:1, where it's talking about the witnesses, when you get into the Greek about that, those are martyrs. Martyrs are watching us, how we're living for Jesus. What are we doing to sacrifice? And I tell you what, if we could see the real, not just this church now, when I'm talking in general, I'm talking about the church in general. How many people are not living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ? We got compromise in our life. We lie. We cheat sometimes. We're crude. We do things just like the world and we think it's okay. Or we don't even pay attention to him because we become complacent and are living for the one who died on a cross for us. Again, these cloud of witnesses, that word is martus, just so you know that I did look it up. It's martus, which means martyrs. They serve as examples of faith, endurance, and commitment to God. And we're to encourage others to run with endurance the race that is set before us. And you can read about them in Hebrews in the first part, in the faith. They call it the Hall of Faith in Hebrews. God gave us some of them that he gave us as examples who, by faith, heroes of the faith. We, like the USA hockey team, we have millions watching us. And we forget that sometimes. 1 Peter 1:12 says, which things the angels desire to look into, but also demons watch what we're doing with our salvation. But angels are learning from us. They're watching and seeing how we're living out our Christian life. And we forget about that. But most importantly, the ones that we can see today, our families can see us, others can see us, our fellow worker employees can see us, fellow students can see us in schools. They're watching us. We may not think they do, but they are watching us. Once they know you're a Christian, they don't take their eyes off of you. One time I told her a while back that I used the word sex at my job. We were talking about a subject and I said the word sex, and one of the guys in the group said, "Hey, he said sex and he's a Christian." But right there, it made me realize how people are watching me. because I know I'm a Christian. Even though I didn't use it in any horrible way, just the fact that I said it. And today you've got people watching you on camera. And guess what? We're watching each other's today. And once you leave this place, those people over in those apartments are watching you. Everybody, there's people all around us watching us. And we should be aware of that at all times. We can't be compromisers. We got to be people. Our word should be our word. Amen?
Amen.
We need to earn the right for people to trust us. We got to tell the truth and we got to live the life. And that takes work. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24, 27. If you have your Bibles, you can follow or you can read on the screen. I don't know if it's up there or not, but I hand wrote my scriptures out to him today, so I didn't know if you were able to read them. My penmanship isn't the best. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that ye may attain. And every man that striveth, that word striveth, I looked up, means struggle, to labor for the prize fervently. Fervently. Three is temperate, meaning self-control in all things. Now they that do obtain a corruptible crown, like the gold, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty to fight, I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That word castaway again means rejected. It implies worthless, literally or morally. That's what we become. And that's what's happening today in our society, within churches today. People are falling away from God. They're not running the... They're becoming castaways by choice because they quit reading their Bibles. There's been a move where you don't read Bibles anymore. You go and listen to a facilitator at a big church that doesn't have a real pastor there, just a facilitator. There should be a pastor there. There should be anointing upon that pastor and leading. The leaders should be there. We're walking away from the things of God to keep us moving forward and strong in the Lord. The prize signifies spiritual maturity and the fulfillment of God's calling. It is a divine invitation to live in the accordance with God's purpose in our life. If we want to become all that Christ has called us to be, where should we look? Where should we look? If we want to become fully like Christ, reflecting his beauty, where should we focus our attention on today? If we want to teach the level of full and complete spiritual maturity, where should we concentrate all of our efforts? Here's what it says in Philippians 3:12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend. That for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul admits right here that he has not obtained full maturity. I've heard Christians, so they don't go as much. They don't go to church as much. They skip out. They don't listen. They're on their phones in church. They're doing whatever. But Paul said here, I'm not even mature myself. That's humility. Christ has a hold of Paul, of his heart. So Paul wants to grab a hold of Christ. He knows what he's doing because he knows he's running a race, becoming like him in all his fullness. Paul uses the word apprehend that I read here. That word, when you look it up in the Greek, means it to eagerly or seize, to possess, to apprehend it. Apprehend the things of Christ. You're after it. You're with all you can, with all you have within you. You're seeking after the things of God and not compromising. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind.
Amen.
Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth onto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
I press for it. I fight for it. I struggle for it. I want that prize. All that God called you to be? Do you want to be fully and completely like Christ? First of all, look ahead. Focus on the objective. Concentrate on the goal. Keep your eyes on the finish line. That means you must take your eyes off the past. Too many people looking at the past. Nothing to do about the past. That's a distraction from the demons of hell. They keep you holding you back from going forward and letting God do the best He wants in you. Whatever that past is.
Amen.
That means you must take your eyes off the past. The past is gone. Or get what is behind. Forget the good old days. You know, you hear people say, I want to go back to the good old days. Forget the good old days. You can learn from the good old days, but I tell you, forget them. They're gone. God said, move on. I got some new work for you to do.
Amen.
I want to use you. I put my Holy Ghost in you. I want you to go forward. I want you to tear down the gates of hell.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's what He wants in a life, to look forward, to realize we are in an army. We are soldiers of the cross, and we're fighting to win a prize. Don't dwell on your past achievements either. Don't dwell on this barrier to any future achievement. You become satisfied because I accomplished this. So I don't need to try over here anymore. I'm happy with what that's a lie. That's when you become, I don't care. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. And the cares, meaning distractions, of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in. They choke. That word choke means drowned, the word, and it becometh unfruitful. That's why I don't teach people how to become successful. Jesus, the way He told us to, and He'll take care of everything we have need of. He wants me to be a millionaire, I'll be one, but I don't need to seek after it. Because I lose my fervor to want to become like Jesus. I'm seeking after the wrong thing. And I got to be careful. I got to guard my heart, don't you?
Yes.
I got to guard my heart.
Yes.
When he was in his mid-80s, the great cellist, Pablo Casals, kept practicing his instrument for 4 or 5 hours each day. Someone once asked him why at his age he still worked so hard. And he said, because. He said, I have a notion that I'm making some progress. You 80-year-olds in here. Keep on keeping on. God's not done with you. He's not done with you until He takes you home. I want to encourage older people in here today. Not only the young people, but I want to encourage the older. I'm in the older. As long as you got breath in you, you can pray. Prayer changes a world. If that's all you can do is pray. If you can think of people, missionaries, people's struggles in their lives, family, friends, whatever. If you can pray, God can use you to fulfill a great purpose. And the more you pray, the more you're going to want to pray. Just like Pablo here playing his cello. He's making progress. That's the attitude we need to have, especially of those who are, again, like I say, older. Especially those who are more mature. Arrive means we are deceiving ourselves. People who think they're sitting in church and, well, I've read the Bible through 4 times and I know everything it says. So I've arrived. I can answer your questions. But no, you haven't arrived. I haven't arrived. No preacher, no missionary, no theologian. I've arrived. I don't care if they memorize the whole Bible. Jack Van Epi did. memorize the whole Bible, but he didn't derive. You know why he didn't derive? Because he memorized a living word. A word that changes. A change, and it's, if you and I are walking through, this word becomes alive and living in our life. And you don't know it till you get to that stage of life. Anybody can quote the Bible. Even the devil knows the Bible than most Christians. Look where he's at. Philippians chapter 3, 15, 16. Let us therefore as many as be perfect. That means mental and moral character to be perfect. Completeness and full of age. Be thus minded, if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same thing. God is calling us to be in unity. Yes. If you may be older, mature in your walk with the Lord, whatever, maybe you're even a younger person and you're more mature than some of the older people. Did you know that there's people up in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s that never grew up? But God wants us to be unified in our study, in our walk with the Lord, that we encourage one another and we never think we're more spiritual than somebody else, better than anybody else. We're to encourage one another because none of us have arrived. None of us. I got to ask you again this. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
I like to ask that question because I find some people. But the scripture, Paul is encouraging believers to continue growing and advancing in their faith. You see, if we begin to rest on our laurels, if we begin to rest on our past achievements, if we can drift backwards and not even realize it's happening. We can regress in the Christian life. We call it backsliding and deconstructing our faith, tearing it down. And that's what's happening today. Many are deconstructing and realize it because it doesn't happen overnight. It's gradual. You kind of cool off in your walk with the Lord, and you don't realize it. Pretty soon you're not as excited about Jesus. You're not shouting his name. You're not living the life. You're not responding the way Jesus would, because you become complacent. I'm a Christian. As long as I'm a Christian, that's okay. As long as I get to heaven, that's okay. I want the prize.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen.
That's what I'm seeking for. That's what I desire in my life. Sometimes the greatest enemy to any future progress is past progress. It's our past achievements which often keep us from moving forward in life. Because, Lord, I did this for you, and I did that for you, and I did this for 30, 40, 50 years, and I did all these great things for you. It's time for me to relax. In his book, Stepping Up, a man by the name of Dennis Rainey tells the story of Brian Clay, who since the age of 8, growing up, gold medal in the Olympic decathlon. He accomplished that dream in the 2008 Olympics in Beijing. He accomplished it. In the decathlon, athletes earn points for their marks in 10 events over 2 days with a commanding lead going into the last event, the 1500 meter run. Clay could have just coasted to the finish line and still earned the gold medal. However, that was not the way Clay saw it. Listen to this. A reporter asked Clay when he knew that he wrapped up, and Clay replied, in the last race when I was about 10 feet away from the finish line. 10 feet away from the finish line. That's when I knew I'd won. I'd worked, trained, and competed for 8 years to be able to have the gold hanging around my neck. and there was anything those 8 years of competition had taught me, it was that in competing against the best in the world in 10 grueling events, anything can go wrong before you cross that finish line. Some are about to cross that finish line. That was pretty wise of that young man. That's why he fought it all the way to that finish line, because he knew something. And you know something? Sad, but I've listened to some older Christians who've gotten up, they're getting close to the finish line of life, and they cooled way down. They backed away. You may be in the last years of your life, but God still wants to use you, as I said earlier. People still need you. Did you know that? Amen. The younger people need the older people. The older people need the younger people. You can still have an impact in your life. Don't say, I can't do this and I have any gifting, I don't have any talent. Don't say that stuff. Every human being has got something that they can give to God. Every one of us. Even if it's just praying, and I'm not saying just praying, I'm saying just singular praying. If that's all we can do, pray, 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 because you're moving heaven and earth. Yes. Think about that. You're changing the destiny of somebody's life by you praying for them, if that's all you can do. And there's some of our elder brothers and even some younger ones that can no longer do things on their own. They need help to exist every single day, but they can pray. God wants to use you. You're why some of you are, because I talked to some of you. Don't ever give up. Your life is so valuable to God. Yes. You pray. Yes. You pray. You pray. Yes. And change your world. Yes. Change the world to someone else. Change your city. Change your state. And change your nation. Change your world. People still need you. So don't coast to the end. Don't coast. Be aggressive. Fight all the way to the end. Be bold as lions. Stand for your faith. Do it in love, of course. And where you need to be righteous indignation, do that too, like Jesus did. But not in a hateful way. But instead, like Paul again, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying, I pursue. I don't sit on my laurels. I pursue every single day, every moment of Paul's life. He pursued. You can read it yourself in the Word of God. You can see the things he walked through, the things he's done in his life. He never gave up ever once, even with the threats of death. And he died a couple times, 2-3 times. Raised back to life. Shipwrecked, beaten, mocked, cruelly. Tortured, low lows, sitting in dark dungeons, cisterns that were hollowed out with bugs and dirt in them, and they throw him in there, and he lived down there, and he still pursued the things of God. That's what was on his mind. Don't let your past achievements keep you from other further progress in your Christian life. Instead, stop living in the past and start looking for the goal. Quit whining about the past. You're not doing yourself any favors. Do it God's way. Jesus was always looking to the going forward, wasn't he? He looked to the cross. He took joy in it because he knew the greatest thing was happening when he got to that cross, that he's going to win the prize. Who is the prize to him? I believe you and I. For God so loved the world. Keep your eyes on Christ, who is the goal of our very existence. Focus on Jesus, not anything else. Don't let any preacher tell you. Don't let any missionary tell you. Don't let any Sunday school teacher. Don't let any theologian tell you to focus on anything, to pursue anything else. Forget about the prosperity movement. Involved in that. You to keep your eyes on Jesus. Just Jesus. You see, if Christ-likeness is our goal to strive for a deeper relationship with the Lord, we need to keep our eyes on Christ himself until we reach that goal. We got to keep on. I'm a Jesus person. When Jesus saved me, he saved me. I was Jesus in the morning, and I was Jesus at lunchtime, and I was Jesus at supper time, and I was Jesus all night long, and I wake up and I'm in Jesus the next day because he radically saved me. And I'm still Jesus in the morning. I'm still Jesus at lunchtime. I'm still Jesus at, and I'm still Jesus as I go to sleep at night until I wake up the next day and I'm Jesus all over. That's who I'm looking toward. Not toward my past, not toward anything else, but toward him. Because I want that prize. Don't you want that prize? Don't you want to get to heaven and not just say, oh, hum, I'm glad I made it. No, I want the prize. I want the prize. Jesus, I want the prize. And Jesus said, well, you know how to get it. Follow me. Look unto me, the author and finisher of your faith. Dan Thurman, who is a tightrope walker and business leader, talks about what it takes to successfully walk. In his book of Off Balance on Purpose, he writes, when new students step onto the rope or cable, they almost begin with the same flawed game plan. They stare downward at the wire to ensure that they have proper footing, and so they fall. So what is the solution to this dilemma? If you have ever watched professional tightrope walkers, you may recall that they never look down at their feet or the wire or either one of their hands or the balance pole. Rather, they keep their head up and look forward toward the goal, the faraway platform in front of them. It's pretty good teaching, isn't it? Yeah. They look at the platform. Nothing here, there. Look at that platform, and I'm going to get there. That's how they teach them. In the same way, we need to keep our eyes on the goal, Jesus Christ himself. Don't focus on your spiritual disciplines. Don't focus on the teaching of some preachers. Don't even focus on a particular discipleship program. While these may be helpful, if you focus on them, you're going to fall. And that's a fact. They're good. Some of them are good. But I tell you, some people that once they get them, they focus on them, and that's all they witness about and talk about is some charismatic person or some program they went to, and this is how you do it. No, you don't do it. Amen. That's how you do it. You learn from those things, but you focus on Jesus. All these here trends, they come and they go. And too many people get focused on them. Focus on the goal. Focus on Jesus. If you do, you'll eventually become just like him. I want to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Not that we're going to look like him. Not that we're going to look like him, but eventually we'll begin to resemble him in the way he lived and loved and lives and loves people. That's what he wants us to do, to become like him. Do you want to be all that God called you to be? Do you want to be fully and completely like Christ? Do you? Think just like him. Takes work. It takes work to change your attitude. It takes work to say, Lord, I'm no longer going to do that in my life because it's not what you are like. I want to be like you. As hard as it is, I don't want to be. I want to get. But I'm not going to do it, Lord, because I want to be like you. I want a 7 times 70. Focus on the goal. The second, look around. Look around for those who are fully committed. Look for people who are fully committed. Sold out to living for Jesus. Look for those people in your life. Hang around those people in your life. Not easily give up. As soon as the slightest little thing happens in your life, you walk away or do your own thing. But people who say, no, Jesus first. I'm going to go to church before I'm going to go to the ball game. Before I go to the mall. Before I have a party. Whatever the case may be. Jesus first, but I want to go to those places, but Jesus, I want to be like you. And I'm going to do, because if I don't, I'm never going to be like you. I'm going to be a compromiser. But look around for those people. Paul's advice to the readers in Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers, be an imitator. together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example, to mark them. Who's walking a committed life for Jesus Christ? Who's sincere? Who's genuine in their walk with the Lord? Those are the people that will help you to grow and to become like Jesus. The other ones you need to witness. Paul was not arrogant. Don't ever mistake arrogance for self-confidence too. He was not conceited. He even called himself in Ephesians 3:8. Listen to this. This is Brother Paul. Unto me of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. In other words, imitate the right people. If you're going to imitate somebody who is living for Jesus Christ with all their heart, their mind, their soul. Be like Jesus Christ. Don't put your total trust in that person because they can falter somewhere. Always on Jesus. But if there is somebody that's committed and you're going to grow in them, those are the people you want to hang around. They're going to help you. You're going to want to be more committed. You're going to want to do more things for the Lord. Not that you have to be done. You need to sit down and talk to Jesus. You must rub shoulders on the regular basis with other true Christians so you can benefit from their example. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. My friends, I hope some of your friends, if not all of you, I would say brothers and sisters in Christ, but that's where we learn to follow Christ, when we look at others that are following Christ with all their heart and soul. I remember when my wife and I first, we were hungry for God. We couldn't wait for Sunday church. We looked at a lot of the people in the church. People have been living for Jesus, and we look at them. Every time the preacher would say something, we hear him say amen. Every time something was said right, they agreed with whatever. And when the preacher said, let's worship God, man, you couldn't keep their arms down. They'd spring up like that there, and it made us say, man, I want to be like that person. I want to be free in my spirit where I can raise my hands and praise God without being intimidated. And we learned from those older folk, didn't we? And I believe where we're at today is because of some of the people that we watched that followed Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
At the elbow of other dedicated, committed, born-again Christians. At the same time, you must watch out for the wrong people. However, the churches were being led astray by false apostles and false teachers even during Paul's time. Philippians 3:18, 19 says, for many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. I'm going to read that again because that is one of the most important scriptures you can read. Whose God is their belly. Don't follow somebody who's willing to compromise in the drop of a hat for whatever. Don't do it. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. I don't hang around people who are only concerned about the earthly things in life. And you can get that way when you start to deconstruct in your spirit. They weren't really interested in heavenly things. And you can tell people who are not really interested. Oh, I'll be there maybe, maybe not. It's all how the wind blows. That's not commitment. That's not saying I'm looking to win the prize. But I know if I go, Lord, I don't really want to go. And God understands that. I don't want to go to that. But I'm going to go because I know there's something there is going to happen that's going to help me to become a better Christian and to serve you better. So therefore, I sacrifice the thing that I wanted to do. I'm going to live for you and do it. How many Christians go to church and don't want to be, but they still go? Whatever reason. So today we need to watch out for the same kind of people. We need to watch out for compromisers, people who understands it's okay. Be careful of those people. They're leading you down the wrong road. When you're fighting for a prize, you got to fight. You got to struggle. Watch out for those who seem to talk about earthly things more than heavenly things. I never cared hanging around a group of guys who want to talk about sport. And I love sports too, but I don't get involved with them for a purpose because they distract me from my goal. But it really bothers me when I hear Christians that don't want to talk about Jesus, but they want to talk about some sports guy. Not that that's evil, but that's where their thoughts are. That's where their belly is. When you sit down with a Christian who is on fire, like our pastor that we had when we first got saved, Pastor Al Eden from Waxahachie, Texas. Little roly-poly dude with rosy cheeks. You know what that guy, he only wanted to talk about Jesus. And we did. That's every Sunday night after church, we were down at
Happy Joe's.
And we sat at that table till midnight, till they closed every Sunday night. And this guy, we would suck him dry of the things of God. And he was always had that smile and ears in his eyes when he'd think about Jesus. Lord, I want to be like Pastor Al Eden. I want my life to count for some when I meet with people. I want to talk about Jesus. That doesn't mean you have to become a Jesus fanatic and everything out of your mouth. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But you've got to be ready to always have a spiritual impact on somebody's life. But I learned from people like that. I learned from my elderly brothers in that church too that I got to know. And they talked about old farmer guys. Still, Harold Hybold, his name. Loved Jesus like crazy. I mean, he wanted to talk about Jesus. He never worried about farming on Sundays like some farmers do. They'd be out there because it's going to rain. He never did. You know where he was? He come to church. He said, God will take care of my crops. I want to live for Jesus. Are you still hanging with me on this stuff? Because I want to encourage you. We're in such dangerous times. And it's time, if you haven't been there, it's time to get there. Because one day it's going to be too late. And I believe it's going to happen sooner than we think. And yes, I will. When? I don't know. But I'm going to get to the end of it. Philippians 20:21 says the third thing, look up. For our conversation in the Greek, that means our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Glory to God. I'm serving a victorious Christ.
Amen.
My citizenship is in heaven.
Hallelujah.
It's not here, it's in heaven. I'm just passing through. But there's a prize I want when I get there. But Jesus is coming again. He will complete that transformation process so that not only will our hearts and our minds be changed, but our bodies as well. He does the whole package. Our salvation will be complete.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Jesus will change us completely, body, soul, and spirit, to reflect his glory. Because we're created in his image. And he wants us to be like him, to look like him, to sound like him, to live like him. Oh, what a day that's going to be, people. What a day that's going to be. I don't know about you, but I can't wait until Jesus comes. I can't wait for heaven. Work to do. I'm still looking at the prize. I got to fight. I got to struggle. I got to rebuke the demons of hell that try to come against me. I got to go against my own fleshly lust and desires that try to pop in there and just take me and distort me and to get me off the track of looking toward the cross. Every day, I have to do it. How many Christians live in guilt and fear of their lives? 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." There's Christians fear, looking for ways, thinking they can escape. No, you won't escape this old world till you die, or Jesus takes you. But if you have fear, fall in love with Jesus. Just like the persecuted people I'm telling you about, they had no fear. They walked in the fire. They were nailed on the post. They were tied on the post, and they were set on fire as they praised God. They had no fear. They would not renounce their walk with Jesus. Our brothers and sisters are martyrs. True love eliminates fear, and it brings peace. And if you don't have that, then you need to fall in love with Jesus, and He can help you. As citizens of heaven, we don't have to live in fear anymore. Instead, we can pursue. If you want to be all that God has called you to be, if you want to be fully and completely in Christ, then look ahead to Christ, the goal. Look around for positive examples and look to heaven. Look for the good things. Think on things of good report, I told you. The Holy Spirit not only directs us, but He gives us the power to achieve far more. The Holy Spirit that lives within us gives us that power and helps us in that area of those struggles of this world, that we can keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Holy Spirit that God gave us lives in us, and He will put that passion. You'll hunger and you'll thirst for the things of God. I bet there's people in here say, "Hey, I don't have any interest in things much anymore. The things that I used to. I'm just looking toward the goal." That's where God wants to get us. It's okay to have nice things. That isn't what I'm saying. But when you hang on those things and that's your life, that's the problem. So in conclusion, Paul states that the only one gets the prize. How many get the prize?
One.
Only one gets the prize. The reason Paul tells us there's only one prize is because there's no second place. This prize, there's only one place. And we forget that. There are no silver or bronze or medals, only gold. If we do not win the race set before us, our alternative is hell. If you're not born again, you're not focused, or you're a Christian and you no longer focus, you beware. The devil will come to steal, to kill, and destroy. Be careful. It is an eternity of regret, wishing that we had run the race when we had the chance. And there's many that are up there in age that say, "God, why didn't I give my time to Jesus? Why didn't I do more for the kingdom of God when I was younger?" But that's gone now. Just say, "Lord, what can I do right now?" No matter if it's little or a lot, it isn't the volume God's concerned about, it's what we do. But I want to encourage you this morning to set your face upon the prize. Will you qualify for that race? You got to answer that. That is, will you accept Christ's death and resurrection and put your faith and trust in Him only? Will you disciple the mission? Let your spirit guide you, not your flesh. Will you be an imitator of Jesus to others? Are you concerned about other souls? Are we concerned about other souls around us? How we treat them? How we act? How we respond to them? We can do it the way that Jesus would do it, or we can do it to fulfill our own belly, our own lusts. Or we can respond in a forgiving and loving and correct manner, the way Jesus would do it. Will you accept the working of the Holy Spirit and follow God's will in your life? But I want to encourage whatever is stopping you from doing so and run in such a way as to get the prize. I'm going to ask how you're doing in your race to heaven. Let the Holy Spirit put that question to you right now. Well, there should be no losers in this race. Many will be disqualified themselves. Did you know that? They will disqualify themselves by taking pride in what they have done instead of what Jesus has done for them. I get no special thing because I'm standing up behind a pulpit. I want the prize because of what he did on the cross. Some totally committed to serving the Lord. They're just half-baked Christians. I'll serve you, Lord, but only so far. Anything that was going to take my time or cost me much or whatever it is, that's where it stops. That's somebody who may not finish the race. Some will not finish because they're not willing to turn from their sin in their life. They know they got sin, but they're not going to turn from it. They may not finish that race. Some will not make it because they live in fear and ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they forget that it says in the book of Revelation, the very first group that doesn't go to heaven. If you are fearful, fall in love with Jesus. Ask him for Holy Ghost boldness. Some will not finish because they are following a denomination or a church or a pastor. A man giving false doctrine, they'll fight to their death to defend that pastor that's giving them false doctrine, but they won't fight for Jesus. That person may not win the race. Focus on worldly things, their belly and prosperity. Others will never finish the race because they become lukewarm. What did Revelation tell us? Jesus said, I'd rather have you hot or cold. Spew you. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And some are lukewarm and they're not concerned about it. And they're content with a little bit of knowledge. Well, I know enough about the Bible where I'm okay. That's a dangerous place to be. And before they know it, they lose it because they don't seek to increase that knowledge. You have to be ever learning in the things of God. The serious thing about this race is that we don't know when the end's going to come, do we? We don't know when our race is up. It might happen today. Paul 2, again, beautiful scripture. It's the main thing. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of God, the throne of God. That's where he's at. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, people. Your reward's going to be great. That prize is going to be, it's going to be your eternal home in heaven with a loving God for all eternity. The prize is before you. Some are going to make it and some aren't going to make it because they quit running the race. I'm going to read you, finish this off with a true story. Around the year 2011, bear with me. It's a gospel tract titled The Room by a pastor named Joshua Harris from Maryland, USA. It was based on a dream Joshua Harris had in 1995 where he found himself in a room filled with files all the way to the ceiling. But to his shock, when he started opening the files, he realized it was actually a record of his life. The files contained every girls he dated, friends he betrayed, jokes he told and laughed at. It was all there in this big file. As he dug into the files, he realized the weight of his sin, as even his secret lusts had been recorded. One file titled, People I Shared the Gospel With, was much thinner and only contained a few pages. Filled with shame and burdened by the weight of his sin, he thought he needed to lock away the room so that no one would ever see his files. But at that moment, Jesus walked in and went straight to pulling the files out and reading through them. For some reason, he seemed to pick the worst files. Jesus' face was filled with sorrow as he read, and he turned and looked at Joshua. His face had so much pity. Joshua was on the floor, head dropped down in shame, his hands covering his face from crying. But Jesus didn't say anything. He just sat there and wept with him. Then Jesus went back to the files one by one. He wrote his name in blood over Joshua's name at the end of each card. Jesus covered Joshua's name with his own written in blood until he was done with all of them. Then he said, "It is finished." Jesus then led Joshua out of the room, and while walking out, he realized there was no lock to this room because this was 1995 when Joshua had this dream. After this, he went full force into evangelism. I'm following through on something I said earlier about a pastor. And by 1997, he went full-time into ministry with a core message on repentance. That's what he preached, repentance. He also authored several books and promoted purity, culture among young people. However, I was saddened to learn that Joshua has now left Christianity. And not only has he left it, but he's made it his mission to deconstruct it. After many years of preaching and full force evangelism in 2019, that he's no longer a Christian and even apologized to the LGBT community for previously criticizing him. He also divorced his wife and announced on Instagram, "By all the measurements that I have for defining a Christian, I am not a Christian." Jesus warned us in the Bible that the first will be last. He didn't just quietly fall from faith, but he went from evangelizing to thousands to becoming a messenger of darkness to destroy Christianity, even offering paid courses to people whose faith is wavering to construct Christianity. It is a reminder that Satan is always looking for whom he may devour. We won't think we are self-sufficient, but we must turn to Jesus daily, relying on him for our strength. Without Christ, anyone can do the worst that you may not even imagine yourself doing. Rely on Jesus to keep you until the end. Trust him. Don't let your prayer life die. Run the race like one who wants to win. Falling from faith doesn't happen, as I said earlier, overnight. It starts slowly going back to sin you once abandoned. It starts with postponing prayer, abandoning it. It's thinking it doesn't matter because I still fear God. But as your prayer life is dying, you as well. And as your prayer life is dying, your fear of God starts to die too. That's where we're at today. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, as it tells us in Scripture, because the Bible says, "Let he who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls." You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Don't get too comfortable and trust in your own strength, thinking you don't need strength from God to overcome. You don't need the church. You don't need brothers and sisters in Christ. You don't need Jesus. You don't need these things. You do. But trust in Jesus. Feeding the spirit man through prayer, and when it may feel you don't need to do it. You need to keep receiving strength from God. You need to keep your eyes fixed on the prize. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Joshua Harris has always maintained that the room was not just a story he sat down to invent, but a vivid, terrifying dream he had while in Puerto Rico. Many people usually say, "If God could show me a dream or a vision of Jesus or hell or heaven, I would have strength and never backslide." That's a lie. But even after such, he'll backslide because Satan works hard looking whom he may devour. So don't depend on yourself, depend on Jesus. Yes. Depend on Jesus. Let's just all stand right now. Listen to what it says in Revelation, my final scripture. Revelation 3:12. He who overcomes, say it with me, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on the prize, people. We need to get more fire and more enthusiasm in the things of God in the world. We need to get on fire for God in the hour we live. We're struggling. We got a fierce battle raging on right now. And as you can see, it's heating up and it's going to get hotter. And if you are not pursuing the things of God, looking for the prize and keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus, you will look at the world, you will look at the wars, you will look at everything else, but you won't look at Jesus because of fear. It's time. It's time. The battle is raging. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, please. I just want to ask real quickly, is there anybody here say, Pastor, I need to get my eyes fixed back on Jesus. That you need to get your eyes fixed back on Jesus. Anybody watching by camera? I know that would be a hard thing to raise your hand on, but there are many people who need to put their hands up. This is the hardest thing in the world. Pride will keep people from being committed. Jesus always called people publicly, and the reason he did is because it brought commitment. There's people playing games with the things of God. They think they arrive. They think they're good just because they do certain ministries. That isn't how we do it. I'm just going to pray. I appreciate the hand that went up. Thank you. God sees it. That's what's important. Because that's who you raise it, not for me. I can't do anything for you but pray for you. And that's what I'm going to do. Let's all pray together. I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you and I praise you, Father. Your written word was put in there. It was a divine word that was inspired by the Holy Spirit in different sections of the Bible through using your men and women of God. Brother Paul warned us through there to keep our eyes fixed on the prize. We're running a race to the eternal death or life. And so, Lord, I want to pray for that person who put their hand up today and saying, I need to get my eyes fixed on Jesus more. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will touch that person right now. He may not feel anything, he may not see anything, but Lord, when he goes throughout his week, the Holy Spirit will bring back to him, I'm running a race for my eternal soul. And Lord, help me to be committed. Help me to turn away from sin. Help me to turn away from complacency. Help me to turn away from worldly things that will destroy me if I hang on to them. Help me to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. I pray that for them and anyone watching on camera and everyone else in here, Father. I pray that we, as the body of Christ, will become bold as lions in this hour that we live. Help us, Lord, to turn and to become fixed on you. Help us to remind us that we are running a race for our eternal life, our eternal soul. Father, put that in such a depth in our spirit that we'll think about it each and every day, that we will walk in a spirit of repentance. I thank you, Lord. I praise you for that, Father. I glorify you. Continue to work on us, Father. Challenge us. Convict us. Use us for your glory, dear God. Put hope and joy in the wasted years away, Lord. You can restore what the cankerworm has eaten. That they will also run the race and win the prize. And we thank you. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody shout it out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you for coming again today. Don't forget good fellowship. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're glad they're here. And Derek, can I see you for a second before you go?
That will be in my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face.